Well, I think we need a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful. And you know what hallelujah means?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. You see, hallel is the Hebrew word for praise. And Yah was the word for God. So when we say hallelujah, we're really saying praise God. And that's what we want to do tonight, don't we? We want to praise and glorify the name of our God. I just want to say thank you to Gary. And Gary reminds me of Daniel. You remember when Daniel was downed and you know, he'd been struck in below the glory of that revelation that he had, and this angelic person came and put his hand in him and said, "Daniel, man dearly beloved." I love that expression. And Gary, you are a brother dearly beloved, and we thank God for you. And thank you to everybody for coming. And good to see old friends. And I don't mean old in age, but I mean friends of long standing. So welcome. So thank you, Lord. I know that some of you love to take notes, and so you can sit back and listen without having to worry about taking notes and missing bits. I've done what I often do is prepare the handout with all the references, scripture references, headings, quotes, whatever. So there's only 20, so if you're a couple, if you could take one between two. At the end of the meeting, if there's 20 left, I'll be very depressed and discouraged. And if they've all gone, I'll be going home with my tail up. So, you know. Now, these are special handouts. You don't see this kind of handout very often because they all have a nice smiley sticker on them. You know? So if you take your handout, you'll get your smiley sticker. So what I'll do is I'm just going to put them on the chair, and then if you want one at the end of the meeting, just come up and help yourself. There we go. Thank you, Lord. The title of tonight's message is The Wind of the Spirit. Doesn't that excite you before we even start? The sovereignty of the Spirit of God. Peter, you won't mind me saying this, I hope, but I was talking to Peter during the week, and Peter was telling me, you know, when he was a boy and in his teens and whatever, you know, he went to church and he never remembers hearing the Holy Spirit being spoken about. Would that be right, Peter?
Yeah.
And I thought, how different from Jesus. Because when Jesus was here, he spoke a great deal about the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus went to the cross, he told his disciples that he was going to leave them, that he was going back to the Father, and that he would send another Paracletos. I'll come back to that word in a minute. The Holy Spirit, who would not only be with them, but who would be in them. Right? And, no, we don't have a screen for this one, but let me put this to you. Everybody who belongs to Jesus has the Holy Spirit living in them. Okay? Romans chapter 8. Verse 9, if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. And in Ephesians we read that after we believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that word seal is like a stamp of ownership. Now, Jane, you work with sheep.
And I don't know what you do with our sheep, but our neighbour who has his sheep, they all have a clip on their ear. And if that sheep accidentally appears in the middle of London, it can be traced to the croft where it came from. Because that tag on its ear is the mark of its ownership. And the Holy Spirit in us is the mark that we belong to Christ. You with me? Coming back to this word parakletos, it literally means one who draws alongside to help. What I've written down here is the Holy Spirit. If you belong to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is living in you. And he lives in us to comfort, to strengthen, to counsel, to advise, to lead, if we let him. He's prepared to do all these things for us if we allow him. Now, this is slightly digressing from the main message, but have you ever felt there was something missing in your Christian life? You know, just something missing. Well, about 12 to 13 years ago, I was like that. There just seemed to be something missing. And so I spent a great deal of time searching, seeking God, asking God, Lord, you know what's missing. Can you supply what I'm lacking? And I don't know if some of you might know the Disney film Mulan. One of the great things about having children and grandchildren, you know, is you're exposed to all the wonderful Disney films. But in Mulan, there's a scene where there's a big plane, and there's a great big cliff emerges, absolutely vertical. No way you could scale it, and it goes up and up, and it seems to touch the sky. And there's no way over it. And when you look to the left, it goes as far to the left as you can see, and it goes as far to the right. So there's no way around it. And that's how I felt. I felt I was wanting to get through to God, and I couldn't. And I remember being at a meeting one Sunday morning, and during the worship time, somebody stood up to give a word. And I've shared this word with you before, but I'm going to share it with you again, because some of you might not have heard it. This is what the word was. Stop asking God to strike the rock to release the water of life, and start thanking him for the water of life that he has already given you. Folks, it was like the cliff gave way. There was a highway through the cliff. And on the other side, there was wonderful pastures. Paul says in Ephesians, he says, blessed be the God and Father who has blessed us. Not who will bless us, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. He didn't say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with some spiritual blessings. No. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So from that day forward, I stopped asking God to give me something, and I started to thank him for what he's already given me, and my goodness, what a change. And what a burden it releases. But after his resurrection, Jesus gave some more teaching on the Holy Spirit. And this is us coming into the main theme for tonight. So let's have the first screen. In Luke 24, 49, Jesus said to his disciples, this was after he was raised from the dead, before he went back to heaven, he says, look, I will send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city of Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now, Sylvia, we can have the next one. Then we move into Acts chapter 1, verse 8, right? And then he says to his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I think, Sylvia, we can put up the next one. So this says that the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost upon the disciples was associated with them being endued with power from on high. Are we together? Are you with me? So we have this truth of the Holy Spirit living in us, but we also have this wonderful promise that Jesus gave that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we would be endued with power from on high. And then we can put up the next one, Sylvia. Maybe this is the ones where we have, one of the ones where we have to split it. Yeah. And the Lord himself was a great example for this. So here is Jesus at the age of 30, about to embark on his public ministry, and he is standing in the River Jordan. And what is he doing? Well, he's praying. It says, Luke tells us he was standing in the waters praying. And what happened next? It says in Luke that the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And in Luke chapter 10, 38, you have this wonderful verse where it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. That's the key word. Who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And then we come to this critical and momentous event in the history of the church. So if you have a Bible, don't worry if you haven't got one. But if you have one, turn to Acts chapter 4 in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John and Acts. And in fact, we'll turn to chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, the disciples and others were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the place where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. What happens next? So here is this amazing thing. Could you imagine what it must have been like? Like a violent wind just woof through the room. And all these tongues, you know, fire. And they were all, well, they all went tumbling out into the street. And in verse, I think it's 14, verse 14, it says, and Peter stood up with the 11 and he started to preach. And I just want us to spend a few moments thinking about this man, Peter. 7 weeks before this happened, and before Peter stands up before thousands, we know there was thousands because there was 3,000 converted and saved. Right? So before this man stands up before thousands of people from all over the known world, right? 7 weeks before, he had been in the palace of Annas the high priest. And Jesus was in the building. Same building. And Peter was at the door. And a young lass, a servant girl, comes to him and she says, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" And she says, "I don't know what you're talking about." I don't know how long went past, but the same lass comes back and she says, "Hang on." She says, "I'm sure I've seen you with him. You are one of his disciples, aren't you?" Peter was getting a bit heated up. And he says, I don't know the man. And then a short time later, some guys come over to him and say, "Oh, you're a Galilean. You're one of his disciples." And listen to what it says. With oaths and curses, swearing his head off, as we would say in everyday language, Peter said, "Don't know the man." And then Jesus is crucified. He rises from the dead. And we'll come back to this again later. Peter is in a room in Jerusalem with the other disciples. And it tells us the windows are barred. Doors are locked. Why? They're scared stiff. They're scared that the Jews will come, haul them out into the street, and lynch them. So they're a terrified bunch in this room in Jerusalem. Listen to what Peter's saying. He's now talking to these folk, this crowd of thousands. And fearlessly and boldly he says to them, "You took this man Jesus and with wicked hands you crucified and slew him." Wow. And I've written down here, question: what takes this man from being a coward, scared stiff, and transforms him into a fearless preacher of the gospel? What did it? When you come to Acts chapter 4, right? Peter and John have been hauled up before the Jewish council for preaching about Jesus. And they're told, they're threatened and they're told, "Do not preach in the name of this man anymore." So when they're released, they go back to their people, their own people, and they give a report of what's happened and what they've been told. In Acts chapter 4, you read this. "And all of them, with one voice, prayed to God." And what did they pray? They prayed this. They said, "Lord, grant your servants boldness, that we might preach and proclaim your word." And folks, what was the result of their prayer? Listen to what happened. Listen to what happened. It says, the place where they were praying was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. You with me? And then it says this. I've got 100 favourite verses in the Bible. Here's one of them. It says this, and with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Don't you long for that power? See? So, what took Peter from being the coward that he was to the guy who could stand in front of 3,000 people and tell them that they had crucified Christ and that Christ had risen from the dead? I put it to you, it was the power of the Holy Spirit. What took these disciples, you know, here they were being threatened. And these threats were real. James was beheaded. Stephen was stoned. I mean, we're not talking about verbal threats. We're talking about real threats. And what took these guys, you know, and men and women, and allowed them to go out and preach the word boldly, it tells us. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God boldly. Now, I want to really personalize this tonight. Okay? I really, really want to personalize this. I'm going to bring a chair and sit because I'm not standing preaching at you. I want you to hear this. I'm not going to ask you to come out to the front. And I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up externally. But I'm going to ask you a question. And if you know it's true of you, if your heart responds to what I'm asking you, I want you to put your heart, your hand up inside you. You with me? Brothers and sisters, here was Peter. Here were these New Testament Christians. And one thing they recognized that they lacked was boldness. Courage. Power. So what did they do? With one accord, they prayed. And how did God answer? It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God boldly. Now, I just want to ask you tonight, do you sense in your spirit that you lack boldness? Do you sense in your spirit that you lack the supernatural courage? I'm going to tell you something I do. Right? If I knew tonight that for preaching in this church I was going to be lynched, I might have thought twice about being here. Right? Because in my heart I'm a coward. I'm not a strong, bold person. So I confess to the Lord tonight freely, Lord, I lack boldness. And I'm asking you the same question, you see. Now, here's the thing. Here's where you raise your hand inside. I'm going to ask you tonight, brother, sister, would you like supernatural boldness that comes from the Spirit of God? Some of you are nodding your heads without even putting your hands up. In fact, quite a number. I want to pray for you. Is that okay? And when I'm praying for you, I'm praying for myself. Father, you know those who inside have recognized that they lack boldness. They lack courage. And Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I want to pray for these brothers and sisters, including myself. And God, I just pray tonight that you will fill us with the power and the boldness and the courage of your Holy Spirit. And folks, do you know what happened? When this man Peter preached, do you know what happened? It says this. These folks who had a few weeks before crucified Jesus, it says, and they were cut to the heart. Ooh. And they cried out to Peter and the others, what do we have to do to be saved? And Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, and you too will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that day, that one day alone, there was added to their number 3,000 souls. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes, two things happen. He gives us boldness and courage that we never have in ourselves. And the other thing he does is he convicts. See, I could preach the gospel for 1,000 years to 1,000 people who are not Christians. And if the Spirit of God is absent, nobody will be saved. And we're studying Thessalonians at the moment, a lot of us in our home groups. And there's a wonderful verse I just want to read to you. You know who first brought this verse to my attention? Another beloved brother, John Leslie. That got you going, John. That made you sit up, brother. Paul writes this in Thessalonians. He says, listen to this. He says, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power. Oh, power. With the Holy Spirit. Fiction. Folks, don't you long for it? Don't you long for it? My heart just longs for it. Right? And I'm having to watch the time because I'm having to cut bits out. But so here's the question for us. Here is the question for us. It's great to hear what God did on the day of Pentecost and the days following 2,000 years ago. It's great to hear what God did in Corinth. But does God still move like this in our day and generation? I want to share some testimonies. So, Sylvia, we can put up the first. William Guthrie, Ayrshire, early 1600s, just after the Reformation. And somebody was at one of his meetings, and look what it says. Through his prayer-soaked message, the wind of the Spirit moved in majestic, irresistible power. Let's have the next one. Now, this was in the days of the Covenanters. This is where Mary McFarlane comes from. Mary isn't here tonight, is she? I don't think so. No, Mary's not here. Well, this is where Mary comes from. But it's not a town. This is in the hills, because the folks had to meet in the hills. Otherwise, if they met in a town or a church or something like that, they would be slaughtered. Right? Listen to this. Cameron confronted his audience with plain Christ, his message coming over with extraordinary power. There was a remarkable pouring of the Spirit. As much of Christ in heaven were found as finite creatures on earth were able to hold. Wouldn't you love that to be true of you? The streams of living water ran through the people like a flood. Folks, that wasn't the day of Pentecost, that's in Scotland. In the 1600s, let's have another one. This man was an old man, it says about, you know how old he was? 65. Right? He labored in Perthshire for 38 years and saw no fruit. You got that? By July 1742, around 50 souls had been awakened. That was a revival in its own right. But it was at the sacrament, a few weeks later, that the floodgates opened. Let's see the rest. From then on, an unusual power hath attended the word preached. Some have received such a measure of the joys of heaven that their narrow vessels could contain no more. Oh dear, I'm going to ask for a show of hands for that. Who would like their vessel to be so full of the joy of the Lord that you can't contain any more? Any hands up? Isn't that a wonderful response? Thank you, Lord. Praise God. And the last one. Golly. Somebody take that clock away. The Ness of Lewis, Western Isles, 1951. So this is in the lifetime of some of you here. Neil, did you make it? This is in the lifetime of some of you folks here. Listen to this. This is on the Isle of Lewis. In the midst of a snowstorm, crowds attend the meeting, which continue till midnight. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to this. We have had four meetings in this church in recent times where I have not wanted to go home. Twice Pete shared about the revival in Lewis. And the first two meetings that he spoke about on the Holy Spirit, right? I honestly didn't want to go home. I couldn't go home. I sat there, and my prayer was, Lord, I don't know how to pray. And I just couldn't go home, so I went to Alec. Alec hadn't yet gone out, and I said, brother, I just can't go. Can we pray? So Alec and I just went to the front, and all right, Alec, and we prayed. And we prayed, and we prayed. You see, and I'll tell you what I'm really praying for. I'm praying for the day when we will not be able to go home. Not, we didn't want to go home. I am praying to the Lord with others for the day, folks, when we won't be able to go home. Do you know why? Because we will be overcome by the glory of the Lord. That we won't be able to leave. And it's real. I'm not making it up. Isn't it wonderful? Listen to this. To see the church crowded is a great sight. But to see the anxious coming into the prayer meeting is even more wonderful. There was a mighty manifestation of the Spirit of God in the meeting last night. Listen to this. Wave after wave of Holy Ghost power swept over the meetings. People were broken down, crying for mercy. And you know why I want the Spirit in my life? I'll tell you why. Not that I can have some self-centered, supernatural, but superficial experience. There's two reasons that I would say, well, three reasons I would say I want to experience the Holy Spirit God in my life and in this church. And here's the three reasons. One, that we might see the glory of God. That's number one. Number two, I want to know the power of the Spirit in my life that I might become a bold, more effective witness for Christ. Right? And the third reason that I want to see the Spirit of God moving is to see lives transformed. Folks, to see Shetland is full of broken lives. You know, there's people here who are broken spiritually. There's people here who are broken mentally. There's people here who are broken socially. Right? We're living in a broken place. And there's only one, you know, I listened on the radio to them talking about the knife crime, how they're going to solve it. You know, folks, I'd love to tell you about the revival in Wales. What happened in the revival in Wales? The sheriff courts were empty. The courts were empty. Right? Because lives were transformed. Light replaced darkness. Right? And so that's why we want the Spirit of God to come. Not that we can have some self-centered, amazing experience. Nothing to do with that. But we can see people blessed. out the socks, as you say. Now, we'll have the next screen, Sylvia. And we're coming near the end. It has been said that every revival is preceded by prayer. And I just want to give you two quotes. From the day of Pentecost, there has not been one great spiritual awakening in any land which has not begun in a union of prayer. Let's have the next one. When God intends great mercy for his people, the first thing he does is sets them a praying. And I'll tell you what's happening. God is moving on the hearts of people in Shetland to pray for revival. And I just want to encourage you tonight. If you sense God is putting it into your heart to pray for revival, pray. And if you know somebody else who's of like mind, get alongside together. Right? In twos and threes or whatever. And don't let go of God until he blesses. Right, the final thing is, final two things, but they're both very quick. John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus said this. John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus said this. He says, the wind blows wherever it wants. You hear the sound, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going to. And I wrote down, I think, three things. I mean, there's many more, but I wrote three things that characterize the wind. The wind is free. Is that right? Not bound. The wind is unpredictable. It could be coming off the north today and off the south tomorrow. And the wind is sovereign. It blows wherever it wants. Right? Now, would you like to know what's in this Tesco bag, folks? Would you like to know? Anybody interested? No? Oh, Isabel is right. There's an empty box. I bought it today, all for you. Right. I'm going to tell you four things. Well, there's more than four things, but I'm going to tell you four things that characterize this box, which is very useful. It's structured. It's predictable. If I put that box there and come back in 50 years' time and nobody's disturbed the church, it'll be the same box, the same shape. It's inflexible. You know? And what's my fourth one? Where is the fourth one? Never mind. Yes. It's rigid. So it's rigid, inflexible, structured, and predictable. As human beings, we're often so like that, aren't we? We're structured, we're predictable, we're inflexible. So Ruth, there's only one way, sister, to boil an egg. And it's the way my mum told me. You see? There's only one way to make a bed. Isn't that right? There's only one way to load the dishwasher. Do you know what I mean? There's only one way to do it. And often what we do is because the way we were taught when we were peery. You see? And especially if you had a strict parent. Now this is how you do it. So you daren't question it. Right? And all I'm saying very briefly, folks, as Christians, it's so easy for us to be like that box. Structured. Rigid, predictable, and inflexible. I'll ask you, is that what the Spirit of God is like? No. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Holy Spirit blows where he wants. Oof. You hear the sound, but you can't tell where he's coming from or where he's going to. Let me ask you this. And you know what I mean by this. was a metaphor. Do you want to be like the box? Or do you want to be like the Holy Spirit? I do not want to be like this box. And you know what I want to encourage you to do tonight? And I know it can be hard. It really can be hard. Especially if you've been brought up in a church tradition for decades. Really hard. I want to encourage all of us to open our hearts and minds to the wind of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, I promise you this, the Spirit of God will never, ever harm you. Never. Never harm you. Last of all, now some of you have seen this, but some of you haven't. So I'll just need to give you a couple of minutes explanation. Priscilla was down in Edinburgh for about 3 or 4 weeks or something like that in the autumn. And every day we sent cards to each other. You've all heard that, or some of you have heard that, you know? And this day she sent a card that was different. Usually they were romantic cards, but this was different, right? And this card was the picture of a sailing ship, and this is what was written on the front. We cannot direct the wind, but we can adjust the sails. Now, Sylvia, let's go. And here is the very card. Look, this is it. And I'm going to read you in her own handwriting what she wrote inside. You can either look at the screen or you can just listen. This is what Priscilla wrote. And the scripture says about prophecies, weigh them up. Weigh them up. Don't swallow everything hook, line, and sinker. So I weighed this up. And folks, I believe, I was led to the belief very quickly that this was not just a word from the Lord for me, but I firmly believe this is a word for the Lerwick Baptist Church. Okay? And I'm sharing it with you. Priscilla writes this. What about the saying on the front of the card? The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit blows like a wind, but we don't know where it comes from or where it goes to. So we need to be ready to catch it. Now listen to what she says now, because there's a warning in this. How tragic. How tragic it would be if our sails were not set properly. So we didn't catch the wind when the Holy Spirit passes by. Another thought that came to me, we need to be in the boat in the first place. Now, in closing, you know one of the expressions in that whole thing that caught me more than any other? Priscilla didn't write about having ourselves ready if the Holy Spirit comes. No. This is a prophetic word, folks. Right? I really believe it. She actually wrote, and I believe God was behind the penning. She wrote about our having ourselves set. When? When? When the Holy Spirit comes. I'm going to say to you tonight, and I really believe this with all my heart, the Holy Spirit is coming to Shetland. Amen. He is. I believe it with all my heart. Right? Folks are praying for it. Folks are praying for it. God has promised it. God has promised it. And folks, I believe tonight the Lord is going to visit his people. And Priscilla and I, as a couple, we want to encourage you as a church. We want to encourage you with all the love in our hearts. Folks, get your sail up. Make sure you're in the boat for a start. Because if you're not in the boat, there's no point in setting your sail. Right, so get into the boat. But folks, get into that boat and hoist your sail. And get it set. Get it set. Get it set. Ready. So when God visits Shetland, we will be ready as a church. As a church. As a church. To catch the wind of the Spirit. I could go on and on, but I'll need to stop. You know, I met with a man on Saturday. He asked to meet with me because he'd heard this. He asked to meet with me. I'd never spoken to him before properly. And he said he had the same thing, but of a wave. A wave. Coming in. And he used to do body surfing. Not board surfing. Body surfing. So he became part of the wave. There wasn't a board between him and the wave. And God spoke to him when he was on a bike. And he had this vision experience, right? And the message was, watch for the wave coming and position yourself so that when it comes, you're not left behind. But you're carried on the wave. Isn't that wonderful? So let's say another hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And we'll just pray, and then it's time for the young folks to be coming in. Father, we praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we are so thrilled. And Lord, we are excited tonight. Lord, I'm really thrilled and excited. Father, you are a great God. Father, you are a wonderful God. Lord, we thank you tonight for the wind of your Holy Spirit, that wind that blows wherever it wants. We hear the sound, Lord, but we don't know where it's coming from or where it's going to. And Father God, tonight, we want to be part of that Spirit. God, tonight, we choose to set our sails to catch the wind. And Lord, we stand by ready to position ourselves to catch that wave when it comes in. And Father, you've given us the wonderful privilege of blessing one another. So God, I just stretch out my heart and my hand over your people in this room tonight. And I pray that your blessing that makes rich and adds no sorrow will be with them and upon them till Jesus comes. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.